so much for this church. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, if you would, please. In the book of Deuteronomy. I can't hardly say Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. I'd like to read verse 1 down through verse 5, and then read verse 12, and then one verse in verse 8. I also brought along something to remind me. I'll mention in just a moment this little notebook right here. It will remind me of something I need to tell you. The Bible says in chapter 6, we're getting ready to be introduced to the great Shema, that which the Hebrew folks wore, especially the daddies, were responsible for the leadership of their home. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of my fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Down in verse 12, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, and from the house of bondage, that thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. I want to speak today on remember to remember. I brought this little notebook before we pray. I discovered this the other day. This little notebook contains outlines that I preached when I first started preaching. I look at them now and say, how in the world did I preach those outlines? They're just little marks of words here, little verses here. But these little sermons, these sermon outlines, helped me to preach. And the reason I brought them, I'm reminding myself, because most of the sermons lasted about 15 minutes. The first revival I conducted at Maple Fork with my dad, I probably preached 15, 20 minutes every night. I mean, you jerk your tie off and throw your coat over the side and rear back and preach a while. And I remember those days. But I didn't preach long, and about 15 or 20 minutes. So I'm reminding myself today to forget this little book. And to preach as long as necessary. Amen. All of you willing to listen, I hope, these next few moments. But this little booklet has been a real blessing to my life, and I cherish it, so I mean that honestly. But sometimes as you get older, you get more long-winded because you get more sentimental. And that happens so often. Father, help us today to glean the truth that will make us a blessing to a people. Lord, your word is what is the power that we need to hear. And I pray you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, may you speak to me and through me. Thank you for the sweet, sweet fellowship that's in this place. Thank you for this church. It's been a landmark, Lord, for these many, many years in this area. We thank you now for the church, and may the future be just as bright as the promises of God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. They tell me that the two signs of old age are, one, forgetting things. And the other one is, I can't remember what the second one is. Years ago, I came across the fact that when you start getting old, and I say that to introduce my message because I want you to remember to remember. And I'll go ahead and ask you now, how many of you are having a problem with forgetfulness? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. You're a wonderful, wonderful group of people today, because I identify with that. They say the four stages of old age, one is bunions, and I have those on my feet, and I'm sometimes have difficulty. I was in revival years ago in Gastonia, North Carolina, and I had loafers on preaching, and my feet were killing me, so I just kicked my shoe off while I was like that, and one lady thought I was getting happy, and she started shouting. So if I kick my shoe off, that's a sign to start shouting. But bunions and then bulges, I don't have that problem, but some folks I know do. Bifocals, I have those also. I had the cataract surgery. I cannot see out of this eye. It's blurry. I'm taking $2,000 of tube medicine right now. I only didn't pay $57 copay, but I had a heart attack. The lady told me that cost $2,000. So I got to put these drops in my eyes four times a day. Did I tell you to say, ah, once in a while? Thank you very much. And the eye blurry. So when I close this eye and try to look out that eye, you're blurry. And so when I got both eyes, I can see fairly well. But the fact is, I do wear bifocals to read, and I have to have them. But if I take them off, everybody's blurry. So I'm just all mixed up trying to get in the sermon. And then the other is baldness, and I have a little touch of that. And some of you have more than I do. And most of us are bothered by forgetting. I forget my keys. I have to carry so many things with me when I leave. I forget my keys. I forget my hearing aid remote control that I have because I have hearing aids on. And so I sometimes forget it. Sometimes I forget dates. Sometimes I forget cars when I park in the parking lot and forget where I parked. And I know somebody else that did that one time not long ago. And I was with him, and we never did find the car. Matter of fact, we had to call security to track it down. And I was lost the other day on the parking lot, and one of my deacons came by and said, Pastor, what's the problem? I said, I'm looking for my car. He said, well, blow the horn on that thing. It's got one, don't it? I said, yeah, somewhere. I couldn't remember where it was at. But anyhow, people have a tendency to forget, and I just say that in humorous because of the fact sometimes when you get down to reality, what I want to talk about today. You see, if you have a memory problem, we understand that, dementia, old-timers or whatever, or just they call it old age. Sometimes it comes with the territory. I remember about a man who forgot his wife. Every time he went to town, he'd forget his wife. Somebody said, why do you keep forgetting to pick up your wife? And then we saw her and we realized why he did that. But here's the danger. There's a great peril in this passage of Scripture. There is a warning where he says, beware. There is a waning where it says, don't forget. And there is a work of keeping your mind saturated with the truth. There is a God. There not only is a God, He is the God. The only God. He is the Creator of the world. In the dawn of creation, God dipped His hand down the bowl of nothingness and flung the world into existence. That's my God. I have a God not only who is the Creator of the world, and the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I still believe that as an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing preacher of the Word of God. I do not believe in evolution nor theistic evolution. I don't believe evolution is the way I arrived here. And if you want to have some kin people swing from their tails, that's your business. But I don't have any that swung from their tails. Had a few that swung from their neck, but none from their tails. I believe that God is the Creator of the world. He made all there is and all there was to be made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And nothing was created apart from God. John chapter 1, God made everything there is. He not only is the Creator of the world, He's the sustainer of this world. One flip of His omnipotent hand could blow it into existence, out of existence. One breath from the mouth of God could cause everything to disappear. That's the God we have. He's got the whole world in the palm of His hand. He's got you and me, brother. In His hand, He's got you and me, brother. In His hand, He's got the whole world in His hand. He got the little bitty baby. In His hand, He's got the little bitty baby. In His hand, He's got the whole world in His hand. I have a God. I have a God who is the creator of the world. I have a God who is the sustainer of the world. And thirdly, I have a God who is my Redeemer. I'm talking about the God of heaven who condescended down and became identified with mankind and took upon Him the robe of flesh and went to the old rugged cross. And after those hours of agony and pain, He bowed his head upon a pulseless chest. And the blood had flowed from his body, from the head to his toes. And there on the cross of Calvary, we saw Jesus Christ in humiliation physically. But on that cross, Jesus said, "It's finished." And when he yelled loud before he died, and before he gave up the ghost, he cried, "It's finished." And when he cried, "It's finished," all the blood sacrifices, they're through with. He's the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ took my sins in his own body. And Roger, I'm glad I can come back to Cranberry Baptist Church. Amen. Forgive me sometimes if I feel emotional. I told our church the other day, I get to go back to the church, and if whoever said it, it's right here, and rub the devil's nose in it. And tell him I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He has no claim on my eternal soul. I am right with God, and God in his providence saved me as a small boy, and he's kept me all these many years, and I rejoice and say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. But then he turns right around and says, beware, lest you forget God. Well, that's a powerful thought. When I see this warning given to us in this passage, here's what I sort of get a hold of. How many of you believe in God? Would you raise your hand? That's not our problem. I'll tell you what our problem is. We are practical atheists. We believe there is a God, but we have a tendency to live like there is no God. We make decisions and sometimes run our lives like we're in charge. And how sad that is. The warning, Deuteronomy 6:12, beware lest you forget God. Chapter 8, verse 11 through 18, talks about the same subject. Beware, lest you forget God. You know what God in His divine providence has done? If you read the Bible, as we all do from time to time, and been around church most of our life, many of us, you see things that have been given in the Bible to remind us. Like the Passover feast, and the annual reminder in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, where the Bible says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever." You know what the Lord was doing? I don't want you to forget in the Passover, when the blood was applied to the doorpost and door lintels. I don't want you to ever forget. It was not anybody except me that was able to deliver you from the hand of the tyranny and the hand of the persecutor and the hand of the Pharaohs. It was I, by my divine power, but through the blood of the Lamb that was put on the doorpost for your salvation. So I don't want you to forget it. Can you imagine forgetting that? But he said to Israel, don't forget. I want you to write it, inscribe it. I want you to have it on your head or on your wrist. I want you to know I am the Lord thy God, and I want you to love me with all of your heart. It's almost like a pathos of a plea from the Creator of the world. Don't forget me. Well, we go to church and we dress up. We sing our songs and we pray our prayers. But I think sometimes God's a million miles away. Let me just illustrate. Ere you left your room this morning, did you pray? Have you talked to God already this morning? You'll say, "Well, preacher, I didn't have time." I remind you, you could not get up, have no breath, no ability to go, were it not for the God of heaven who allowed you to get up and allowed me to get up. I have felt him at times, have you, where I rushed into the day with no time to talk to God. And he says sometimes to us, "I've been waiting on you." I find myself going into the secret place once in a while, Psalms 91. And I'm not saying I hear any voices. I'm not saying I see any strange visions. But as I get ready to pray, I say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I'm glad to come into your presence in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty." You know what I hear him say to my subconscious? "I've been waiting on you." Our Father in heaven, our Abba Father, Romans chapter 8, the God of all gods, wants to talk to me. He's mindful of me. He loves me. And as much as he loves me, he loves you. And yet we do things so often without even getting second thought and try to run our lives the way we think they ought to be run without consulting the Creator and the Sustainer and the Redeemer of our life. We have communion service at our churches, which again is a reminder. It's a symbol of the redemptive act of God. Luke 22:1, the Bible tells us now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. That happened several hundred years before. He's called them back to it again. And then he said, remember, when you do this, are you listening to me? When you do this in remembrance of me. Like we're going to forget him. You said, preacher, he knows we're human. Yes, he does. And I don't know about you, but I need reminders over and over again, like a fellow at our church who's in heaven today. Brother Les may know I'm talking about Brother Keller, who used to come to our church. We was having communion service one night, and the deacons were passing out the elements, and he come down the aisle, and Brother Keller, an old Wesleyan preacher background, and he said, give me two. And I stand up here watching. He took two cups of grape juice and put them on the pew that we have so he could set them right there on the end. I said, what in the world is he going to do with two cups of communion? And then he stood up and he said, I just want to testify. And then he got happy. And I thought, my soul, we're going to have grape juice everywhere. He said, I'm just so glad I got saved a long time ago. I just want to get up and shout on purpose. And he did. And then he said, we're having communion tonight. I just want to get a double blessing. I want a double blessing. Now, I'm not sure that is in reality the theology of the grape juice. But if you've got to drink a gallon of it, don't forget God. Don't forget from where you come from. Don't forget from whence you are. Don't forget the blessings of God. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from God above, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the Father of lights. And everything that I have today has come from the bountiful hand of Almighty God. And I don't need to forget that. And yet it's easy sometimes for us to hear God say, don't forget me. You say, preacher, where are you heading? Follow me. In the teachings in Deuteronomy chapter 6, remember he told the fathers to teach the children when you're sitting and when you're sleeping, when you're walking, when you're talking. Talk to your children over and over again. It's our responsibility. Why? Because you're just one generation away from extinction. That's where we're at today. It's very quickly we're passing off the scene, this generation. I preached a series of sermons, I'll serve my generation, and then I'll sleep with my fathers. I may have not have been the greatest or the best over the years, but I want to finish well. I was talking about it last night, Roger. I want to finish well. I don't know how many more years I have in the ministry and how long I can go. I hope I can go with several more, but I do want to finish well. I'd like to be able to say, and even though I could never put myself in the same category of the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith and finished the course. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. Paul said, I fought the fight. And if the Apostle Paul, who is an example under God, and Jesus being our supreme example, as he said, follow in our steps. He said, I want you to come, take up your cross, and follow me. I want to be your Savior, but I also want to be your example. I want you to follow me, and follow me, and follow me, until I take you home to glory by the way of the rapture, or by the way of death. Being a part of our church family for these 50 years in Kannapolis, I have now preached over 400 funeral sermons of our people. My heart aches. I got a man right now just called while ago at the point of death. And whether I'll preach his funeral or not, he's another church family, but he's part of our family by relationship. And every time, what I learned a long time ago, Roger, in the early days of pastoring a church, you learn how to weep when people weep. You learn how to laugh when they laugh. And joy, you go when the babies are being born and you say, that's a pretty baby. Just looks like its mother. And you say, no, I don't. He says, look like me, don't approach it. No, don't say that. It looks like the mother. And you have a little fun with the baby at the window, used to. And then before the day's out, you're in a church service or a funeral home trying to comfort a family who's had tragedy and heartache. I've been through tragedy. I'll not allude to those today, but I know what broke me. I'm not as broken as I ought to be, and I want God to break me and make me more usable in these latter days. But I know what broke me. I know what Nancy and I went through that broke both of us like nothing else probably could have broken us. And God has a way of taking things away to give you what you need. And sometimes he hurts you so he can help you. Sometimes you got to learn, and I got to learn how to bleed so I know how to bless. And you learn better how to help folks when you've been through heartache. You've been there. Roger mentioned in Sunday school about tragedies and so forth. I'm going to tell you what, when you understand and see how people hurt, and I had an assistant years ago, he said, "Preacher, I've never had a death in my immediate family." And he says, "I don't understand sometimes what y'all talking about altogether. I want to be grieving with folks." And he said, "I can sympathize, but I can't empathize because I've never been there." When you walk to baby land, you'll learn how to weep with somebody. When you see a mom or a dad that come down to the end of their life and they have lost the mental capacity to function properly and you're trying to care for them, you'll learn how to sympathize. When you see folks who have heartache in the home and their tears they shed at night in the darkness when nobody else knows, God, like He said in Sunday school, "What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? Lord, where could I go seeking a refuge for my soul? Where could I go but to the Lord?" You've been there. And boy, I'll tell you what, over these years, God has broken me over and over again in many ways. Pray for me, would you? I'm not saying that to be super spiritual. I'm saying that to say I'd like to be the kind of man God wants until the day I die. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show this handiwork. Why? Every time the sun comes up, don't forget me. I saw a beautiful moon the other night. Man, it was beautiful. I was just leaving for the hospital late at night. The death had come, and as it came out of the driveway, that moon was shining full. Wayne Marlowe, one of our deacons, and had passed away. And my friend for 50 years. I just conducted his funeral the other day. And I got sort of misty-eyed, Roger, in the sermon. I had to take off my glasses for a moment because I couldn't read. And I said, even God let the moon shine brightly that night, maybe just for Wayne's family. The sun came up this morning. Thank God the sun came up this morning. Thank God the sun came up this morning. Don't forget me. I'll be with you all the way even to the end of this world. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you. Take the promise and bank on it and go with God as He goes with you. I had a long sermon here today. I've not got to the sermon yet. So I'm going to put it in high gear. Will you listen fast and I'll preach fast. The warning is beware. The Passover feast, the communion, the symbol of redemption to remind us. The teaching is to remind the kids there is a God. Remind them there is a God. Remind them there is a God who loves them. Remind them there is a God who cares. Teach them. The heavens declare the glory of God, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that we see in the galaxies of heaven. But the waning, the forgetting. Have you forgotten God? This morning is my message. We are one generation away from extinction, and you forget usually gradually. I have not lost my memory over the years all of a sudden. I was fairly sharp a few years ago. I was not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and neither was Roger. It was Sonny. He was the sharpest knife in the drawer, because we call him Sonny. He's sharp. He's bright. But I didn't lose. But boy, as I'm getting older, pray for me. I forgot things this morning. I asked Marcia where I put it at. Roger just gave it to me. It's these little things you put in your shirt to keep the collar down. You know what I'm talking about? Staves. I forgot them. I left them at home. And so I asked Roger. He gave me some. And then I was going to put them in. I couldn't find them. And Marcia came by. I said, "Marcia, have you seen my staves?" And so she started looking for my staves. And then I hollered back in her, I found them. Now, you may not have that problem, but you pray for us old people. Anybody over 75 is old. I ain't 75 yet, so I'm getting there. Some men forget God in time of peace. Some forget God in times of problems. Sometimes folks forget God in times of prosperity. Let me just give you a couple illustrations before we go to the house. This thing of peace is when you forget God. When everything's going well, it's easy to forget God. And let's just confess, we don't pray as much when everything's going well. You say, why does God, somebody asked me this week, "Preacher, why does God let us go through the tribulation and the trials? He already knows what we're going to face. He already knows it. Why should I even have talked to Him about it?" And He says, "I've got to go through these heartaches and problems. Why does God allow that?" Because sometimes through the sorrow of our heart and life, it helps us to realize how much we need God. Hey, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Oh, everything's going well. Boy, the jobs there and peace in the country. We're not in war right now, in and out of wars over the years, but I remember 9/11, do you? Headlines on the morning of September 11, 2001, 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked four commercial passengers, jet airliners intentionally crashing into two of the World Trade Center in New York City. The hijackers crashed a third airliner into the Pentagon. The fourth plane crashed in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Where was you at, 9/11? I know where I was at. I'll tell you what happened after that. Father, the next headline, National Day of Prayer of Remembrance. And proclaim September the 11th as a patriotic day. During the National Days of Prayers, we pause to give honor to the memory of the nearly 3,000 innocent people who were murdered by radical Islamic terrorists in the brutal attack of September 11th, 2001. We have come together to pray to our God for those lives who will forever be changed by the loss of a loved one. It became all right to pray for a while. You could pray in our public schools without intimidation. You could pray anywhere you wanted to. And people were called to pray. And all of a sudden it seemed like God was in the equation. And we hurt and we weep and we cry. And we see people jumping out of buildings. We see our people, our first responders, full of ash and dirt and smoke. And many of them die. Those policemen running up the stairs and et cetera. I tip my hat to those people. But I don't want to ever forget God, because it's so easy, because where's he at now? I quote to you from one of our congressmen just a few days ago, and I heard it again this week. They were talking about the amendments and the constitutional changes and the program they've got trying to push to us and through us about the folks who compete in contests of the LGBTQXYZ group. And this is what a congressman said. When a man got, one of the congressmen from the South, he got up and he said, this is what the Holy Scripture says. You may have seen it. And for the next 15 minutes, he quoted what God said. And he says, we've got to be careful we don't violate the Word of God. Congressman on the other side stood up in the middle of his speech and said, God is of no concern to this Congress. God have mercy on a nation or folks who feel that way. You can kick God out of government, but you won't get rid of God because He is government. You can kick God out of the church, but you're not going to get rid of the church, because upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is one Lord. There is one God. I want you to love me. I'm not trying to make you love me. I just want you to love me because of what I've done for you and how much I care for you. Don't forget me in the times of peace for God's sake. Don't forget God when everything's going well in your life. It's so easy sometimes to get the place in your life that you forget the Titanic. 1912, or I think it was April the 15th, when that mammoth ship liner sunk by hitting an iceberg and ripped the side out of the Titanic. And 1,500 folks plunged to their death in the waters of the Atlantic. Tragic. Several were rescued. Just read a book again by Preacher Harper, a man who put his family in a lifeboat, jumped in the water to try to help other folks who were sinking. But being a preacher, every time he'd see a head bob, he'd say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Titanic will never sink, and we're safe in the harbor. Nobody's going to hurt us. We can make it all the way. And God just put an iceberg in front of the old ship, and the Titanic went down. Mr. Harper preached his last sermon, and later there was a convert who testified, I think it was in Canada, at a conference, about, I just want to stand and testify and say I'm the last convert of Preacher Harper, because he told me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before I saw him go down for the last time. He told me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They rescued me. I got saved. And I was probably the last convert that preacher had. I'm telling you, God can come into any equation. God can come into timetable. God can come any situation. God is able to override, underride, move out of the way, anything, anytime, any place He wants to. You know why? Because He's God. And He can do anything He wants to do. In time of prosperity, the Scripture talks about when thou comest into the land, don't forget me. think that you've got this wealth that you've done it yourself. You've got all this wealth and you've got all these blessings because of yourself. Remember, it's the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth. Remember, it's God who established the covenant with you and swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. He's simply saying this. It's not by your PMA, your positive mental attitude. It's not because of your great ability that you can make a living and make money to feed your family. Remember when the early days when fathers used to be around the house and you'd have a meal together? It becomes almost a rarity sometimes now. Just sitting down with a father and a mother and the kids, and they sat down and let's all pray. And usually in our home, it was our dad who asked the blessing on the food. We never were rich, as far as rich as you're concerned. It's materialistically wise. But let me testify. We had riches money can't buy. I remember those prayers of Mama Roger. I remember the times when Dad would pray and get us all around on the old linoleum floor, and we were rough on the furniture. Sometimes we had the couch kept by cans of beans trying to hold one end up. And Dad would get us down and pray, and then he'd say, God, I want to thank you for my family, and God bless Sonny. He'd always start with the oldest one. And he'd come around and pray for each of us, as I remember as a kid, in devotions. Did it fairly regularly, praying for us. Just to look back and say, dear God, bless James and help him. Lord, bless Janet and Eddie and whoever it may have been. To know they prayed for us is greater than anything in the world because it helped us. I'm far from being perfect. I got feet of clay. But I'm going to tell you what, to a large degree, I am what I am by the grace of God and a praying mama and a daddy who cared about things that are right. It influenced us. Don't ever find yourself in times of peace and prosperity. You cannot untie your shoes or tie them without the help of God. God lets you get down and God will let you get up. And when your body can't get down and somebody has to kneel down in front of you and tie your shoe, it is not them. It is Almighty God who cares about you, who loves you, who's concerned about you. And every breath you breathe, every blessing you enjoy, comes from the bountiful hand of God. And I say, beware. Lest you forget God. Because when you forget God, you're going into dangerous territory. It may be the chastening hand of God has to come, or it may be when a nation forgets God, they're turned into hell. Psalms 9:17. And as people continue to move away from God, I hope there's a resurgence of revival. We all know politics is not the answer. We know revival is the answer. We know that mentally. We're just not getting a hold of it spiritually. Some people forget God in times of problems. They become bitter. Something has happened in their life. I'm dealing with cases now. Met for an hour the other day. I just can't get over the hurt. And I know I should, and I know I should take the high road, but I can't. And they're bitter. I've seen bitter people in the pastorate. So I put in my notes today, and I mean this because my observation may be wrong. I believe the number one sin in the church is bitterness. Bitterness toward God or toward somebody else. And a lot of times toward God, it's almost like I blame God. God, why did God allow this to happen? I mean, it was said the other day, why in funerals? Why did God allow this good man to die? We don't have answers for all the questions, but to say this, God can do anything He wants to do anytime He wants to do it. And if He chooses to let me drop dead behind this pulpit, that's God's business. He's the creator and the sustainer and the redeemer of my soul. And if God can do anything He wants to do when He calls my name, it's not a matter of me grumbling about it. Now, I hurt. I hurt when our family members die. I hurt when a little girl was taken away from us in a legal battle. I hurt. My first question was why. I remember the question driving down the mountainside with tears in my eyes that I couldn't see to drive, that I was alluded to a while ago. We lost that little girl in a battle, legal battle. I remember the days when I said, Lord, I remember when my wife turned her back to me in the bed and she said, James, I don't understand God. And I pulled her over and kissed her and said, honey, by the grace of God, we'll make it through it because God will never leave us. He'll help us. And I'm just here to testify a little bit today. You may go through heartache and tears and troubles and trials, and bitterness may assail your soul. Tear it out by the root. Get rid of the bitterness. You say, preacher, that's not easy. Nobody said it was easy, but God said do it. Because that bitterness will hinder your life and you'll always have hard feelings towards somebody. And we can allude to all the stories. You say, there's no way I can forgive somebody for what they did. And Jesus looked out from the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even those that knew what they were doing, He forgave them. And He forgave them before they asked. And boy, that bitterness that eats away at us. You know, in our old age, before I get down to the last point, I am through. As we get a few years on us and we start slowing down, it took me a little while to get up a while ago from the seat. I used to jump right up like a young whippersnapper. I used to preach up and down the aisles back in the old days and run around. I can't even get off the stage now without holding on to a rail. The body's wearing out. That's God's business. My zeal is as much as it's ever been, but my zip is departing little by little. Daddy, when he had Alzheimer's, you know who he called me? Luther. I don't know who Luther was. He said, a Luther. He kept calling me. I said, Dad, the name's not Luther. And he said, yeah, it is. I said, all right, I'm Luther. We was at the home one day, and I said, Dad, could you tell me how to be saved again? Did you know he hit his knees and quoted the scriptures and didn't miss a lick? Do you know I was preaching revival over here and I forgot a verse of scripture in one of my sermons, very familiar sermon. Dad stood up and quoted for me. He thought I was Luther, though. Remember Mama, when she's coming down to die, what she did and what we rejoice in and out of the room, and she didn't know who we were from one minute to the next as far as why we were there and when we got in. But when the old hymn books come out, Roger, those old hymns of the faith, when the row is called up yonder, I'll be there, when we all get to heaven, et cetera, all those old hymns. And what I've noticed, not everybody goes through that. Not everybody's able to do it. I may not be able to do it. But I am thankful that there is something that goes down deeper into the very bones, in the very marrow of your life. There's something about the Word of God that you need and I need to face all the crisis of tomorrow. Who is going to be against me? Practical atheism? Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah 49:15. We were on His mind at Calvary. He looked down through the quarters of time and saw me, little old boy, outside of Beckley, West Virginia. And I was on His mind. He's kind of, you were on His mind. The Bible says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And the answer is yes, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. First of all, you know God. The generation does. And then the generation next, if they don't get it instilled in them, will know about God. And the third generation, like it was in the days of Joshua and Judges, they rose up and they didn't even know who God was. We're being re-indoctrinated in our society. We're being retaught. We're being programmed to get God out of our lives. Anything that's fundamental and spiritual and right, almost in some people's mind, needs to be taken out completely out of our society. I don't know where that's going, but I think the greatest battles are ahead. And I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. Maybe still I'm a realist, because we're on the winning side. One day the battle will be over. I think persecution is going to increase. I think some of us may suffer more if our generation lasts. Our children and grandchildren are going to face things probably that's almost hard to talk about. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. I'm just going to trust Him today, for He leads me and He guides me, and I need Him. Oh, how I need Jesus. How about you? And so beware is the warning. Forgetting is the waning of how you do it gradually. And you wake up one day and God's not important to you. But your job is. Your pleasures are. Your family is. But God sort of pushed to the backdrop on this Sunday morning of Family Day. May all of us rededicate our life and say, by the good grace of God, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I don't want to know about Him mentally. I want to know Him that He's my Lord.